Well, today is the last of the Beatitudes. We've been looking at, up to this point, seven principles or Beatitudes that Jesus spoke that actually are going to help you in life, and we need every single one of them. Let me just go real quick. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The bottom line is this: God wants to be part of your life, but you have to be humble enough to ask. Blessed are those who realize they don't have it all together all the time and that God Almighty can help. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. I love that. God is aware of our hurt. He's aware of the frustration. He's aware of what is going on in our lives, and He wants to be our strength. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. And we talked about this. Meekness is not weakness. Meekness is strength under control. The ultimate example of that was Jesus Christ on the cross. Because of His love, He chose not to call down 10,000 angels and just obliterate everybody. That's meekness. It's not being weak. It's having strength. It's having strength under control. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. That is so simple, it's hard. Happiest are each of us when we pursue God as number one and don't get bogged down with things that don't really matter in this world. Blessed are the merciful, for they will have mercy shown to them. The most gracious people are grace-filled people. First, we need to receive the grace of Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of Jesus Christ, and get ourselves right with God. And it's amazing how that impacts our relationships. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. We talked about this. Remember, we're crazy about pure food, pure water, pure this, but we don't think about our own lives before God. And then last week, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the sons of God. Happy are those, a mature believer is one who's actively pursuing peace with others. The eighth beatitude, I think I respect this one in such a way because Jesus was a realist. Jesus wasn't trying to candy coat the things in this life. And basically, Jesus is summarizing here, saying, if you live these seven beatitudes, if you adopt these principles as principles in your own life, then you have to expect to make somebody upset. And we're talking about Matthew 5, chapter 10. Jesus says this, blessed are those who are persecuted because they live for God. For the kingdom of heaven is theirs. This was such a shocking statement that Jesus reiterates what He's talking about in the next verses. God bless you when you are mocked and persecuted and lied about because you are My followers. Be happy about it. Be very glad, for a great reward awaits you in heaven. And remember, the ancient prophets were persecuted too. Jesus takes a pause here, and He gives more clarity and observation of this beatitude than any of the other ones. He also personalizes this. This is the only beatitude that says you. Blessed are you when you are. All of the other beatitudes talk about the characteristics of a believer, and this one just kind of sums up and characterizes the behavior of those who don't know God towards those who do know God. Happy and healthy are those whose beliefs are strong enough to withstand the attacks. I'm not talking about what you say about your life. I'm talking about a person who lives their life. The reality of a true Christ follower is at some point you're going to be fiery rejected. And Jesus lived the very same way. He didn't fit the mold. He wouldn't succumb to what the scribes and Pharisees, the religious leaders of the day, instituted as this is important. Jesus said, I'm not doing that. I came here to do what God had called me to do. And the prominent leaders of their day really had two choices. Get in line with Jesus or eliminate him. And that's what they did. They had him killed. The world's ways crucified Jesus. And the world's ways will still do that today. Jesus was very clear in John 15, no servant is greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you. You see, he was a realist. Jesus made it super clear in the second part of that verse. You are going to be persecuted if you're one of my followers. Now, maybe you'd say, I don't really need this message. Nobody has ever hassled me in terms of living for Christ. I don't know how we take that. It just might mean that you're no different than anybody else. I'm not the one who said it. Jesus is the one who said, all who live godly will be persecuted. If you're not being ever in your life harassed for your faith, if you've never had to stand up and somebody opposed that, maybe there's no difference in your life than that of the secular world. And again, I'm not talking about being obnoxious for Christ. Sharon showed me this video the other night, and I couldn't show it to you. It's just so crazy. And it's why people think church people are crazy. There's a lady preaching, and she did it like in an old school. And God said, and I have my hair, and my hair is long. And the Bible says I shouldn't cut my hair because my hair is long. I have a blessing from God, and there's angels that go around my hair. And I'm thinking, this is what makes Christians look bad. She should be persecuted because she's kooky. I just know some of you don't Google it while I'm speaking. You find it later. But I'm not talking about being crazy. I'm talking about being a fully devoted follower of Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, at some point, if you're my follower and you're going to stand up for the principles of the Word of God, which is this. Let me just tell you a little side note. Got a phone call this week. It's happened to me more in the last 5 years than my entire ministry of over 30 years. Guy calls on the phone. He says, hey, do you believe in the Bible? I'm like, why do you ask me that? He said, well, we've been trying to find a church and they'll give a little this or that and they tell stories and want us to break up into groups, but nobody ever preaches from the Bible anymore. How many times I've been asked that in the last 5 years from newcomers who've come to the church? I can't tell you. It's too many. This is truth, not my opinion, not your opinion, but if you hold to this as truth, every word, it offends me. I mean, I've been a pastor forever. I'll read that. I'm like, gosh, why did you put that in there? Well, he put that in there because it's not about me. It's about living for him. And that's the best way to live. And Jesus gives us these principles. And they're beautiful principles because all of us want to be happy. But you can't seek happiness and get happy. It's a byproduct of truly serving Jesus Christ. But not everybody is going to like that. And I love how Jesus just says, bottom line. This is how it's going to be. And it's a little bit one of those, it kind of like, wait, that's what it's going to be? And Paul talked about this to young Timothy. He said, you should know this, Timothy, that in the last days there will be very difficult times. For people will love only themselves and their money. They will be boastful and proud. Scoff at God, disobedient to their parents and ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. They will be unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. They will be cruel and hate what is good. They will betray friends, be reckless, be puffed up with pride, and love pleasure rather than God. They will act religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly. He's talking to young Timothy. He says, stay away from people like that. And Paul goes on to say, you know how much persecution and suffering I have endured. You know that I was persecuted in Antioch. And remember, in Antioch, he was literally run out of town. And then he talks about Iconium and Lystra, but the Lord rescued me from it all. In Iconium, they had a lynch crew. They vowed that they wouldn't eat or do it until he was killed. And Hughes and Chapel write this about his time in Iconium. Timothy was there. Excuse me, that was in Lystra. When Paul was stoned, rocks crushed against Paul's skull, and he fell in blood spilled splatter, and he was broken beneath the rubble. He was dead, they all thought. And his murderers in time departed, leaving his dead body to his followers. How the believers must have mourned. What are they going to do without Paul? And suddenly, Paul popped up, opened one eye, then the other. He looked up and said, it's all right, brothers, no funeral today. Let's get out of here. And they got back. He got up and went back into town. It goes on to Timothy, and he says this, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ will suffer persecution. And Jesus says, blessed are you that you have enough backbone to go against the tide, to go against the crowd, to go against whatever that thing that the world says is important and now this is truth. Blessed are you because your home is not on this earth and one day you're going to be with me. And he says, I need to remind you this. Everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ will suffer persecution. But evil people and imposters will flourish. They will deceive others and will themselves be deceived. Paul goes on to say, but you must remain faithful to the things you have been taught. You know they are true and you know that you can trust those who taught you. I love this next verse. You have been taught the Holy Scriptures from childhood. That is so important that kids understand what truth is. It's pretty simple for them, right? It's very simple. And they have given you the wisdom to receive salvation that comes by trusting in Jesus Christ. And then Paul goes on to make a very important declaration. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. So here's the purpose of the Bible. It's to help us to understand truth. And Jesus said, if you know truth, truth will set you free. Paul says it will help you to understand what is right, and it will also help you to understand what is wrong. How do we know what is right and what is wrong? What is the foundation upon this country when it was built? Principles out of God's word. Paul knew that. It corrects us when we're wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. How awesome is that? Jesus not only died for us, he said, now I'm going to give you a roadmap. And this is how I would like you to live. Not because I don't care about you, because I do care about you, and I want you to live a life that's full of meaning. I want you to live a life that actually matters. I want you to live a life that has substance. So the last of these eight Beatitudes, Jesus addresses personally those who call themselves Christ followers. Blessed are you when you're able to square your shoulders in the line of fire. See, what does this matter? I mean, really, what's the big deal about this? Let me just give you two thoughts. The first one is this. When we are unjustly accused, when we are confronted, when we are feeling the pressure, it actually is an indication that you're a follower of Jesus Christ. That's the reason we're persecuted, because people can see God's Spirit resting on you. And yours is the kingdom of heaven. Now, there's another thing that I probably should mention. I want this just to sink in for a moment. Somebody died. Somebody died. Somebody died. Somebody died. Somebody died. Every couple of seconds, three people die. Did they go to heaven or did they not? Every single day, 24 hours a day, 6,393 people are ushered into eternity. Did they go to heaven? I don't know. Somebody else just died. Matter of fact, it was three people. This matters because people matter. This is the purpose behind Hope Church. Not to make people feel bad, but to give you an opportunity to grow. Why do we want to give you an opportunity to grow? About six people just died. Did they go to heaven or did they not? I hope they all did. Boy, about another 10 people just died. People need true believers because they're looking for hope. They're looking for something more than just the junk this world has that we try so hard to get and it doesn't fulfill us. So whether you have 5 years or 50 years left, your life matters. And how many years do we spend just snapping our fingers because about another 35 people just died? I know this. When I was a business major and I had a promising career, I'm not saying that I always did it right, but I was in Mexico and the Lord spoke to me and he said, Jim, do you believe in heaven? Yep. I'd kind of like to be there someday. Do you really believe in heaven? Lord, I honestly do. I believe the Bible. I believe there's a heaven. I felt like he was setting me up. He said, well, then do you believe in hell? I didn't like that. But it was so vivid and so real. Tears began to stream down my face. And I said, I do believe in hell. And he said to me, how do people not go there? And I said, well, they need to receive your son, Jesus Christ, as their personal savior, and heaven is waiting for them. Then I felt like the Lord spoke to my heart, and he said, well, then how ought you live the rest of your life? And I said, okay. I'm about the last likely guy that could ever be a pastor, but if you see something in me, it matters. Well, that's the nice end. The other part of it was, and I can't forget this, I was on a great backpacking trip with my sister and one of her friends, and her friend just graduated valedictorian from Cal State University. And on our trip, they're both super smart and I'm not. They begin to ask me about my faith, and I'm like, I'm not doing this. They're both biologists and I know what they're trying to do. But I felt like the Lord prompted me, Jim, this matters. Nope. I'm not going there because I don't want to look stupid. Right? None of us want to look stupid. And then that week, my sister called me and she was crying. I said, what's the matter? She said, well, our friend who we just went backpacking with took her own life. And I thought, oh, no. I had an opportunity to tell her about the Jesus Christ, my personal Savior, who literally revolutionized my life. But because I was a little afraid what she would say, I chose not to. I don't know what she would have done if I would have spoken to her. I guess I'll never know. Do you understand that right now just a bunch of people died? And Jesus said, if you're going to have a strong faith, then at some point it's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you something. People need the Lord. They need to see Jesus lived out in you and me. They need to see these beatitudes in our lives, that we're humble enough to say that we need the Lord, that we have strength, but it's strength under control, that we're pursuing righteousness, and that we're people who try to make peace as much as it's possible with us. I don't want to die and have tremendous regret that I lived for the best this world has to offer, but never impacted anybody for Jesus Christ. I don't want to do that. And I don't think you do either. And that's why Jesus sat down on a mountainside. He says, okay, let's talk. Let me tell you what's important. He said, you people are important. And the people who don't know me yet are also important. And I'm going to give my life for all of you to make a difference. Let me just kind of read the final thoughts I had for today. And by the way, I hope that today causes you to think a little bit. And I don't want you to be mad at me. But if you are, I'm 60 years old and don't really care. I'm offended by what I'm saying because I have to look at my life And I have to ask myself, how much time do I pray and how much time am I on social media? How much time have I given to the things of God and how much time have I given to the things of Jim? I'm a little offended about my life. And so if you're a little bit uneasy, it's probably good for all of us. Here's my last thoughts. If you live these Beatitudes, at some point you'll be in the line of fire. I'm thankful Jesus was so honest. He never watered down commitment. He says there's a price to pay if you really want to follow me. Popularity here on earth is never a guarantee by the Gospels, but the reward for you in heaven is a guarantee. Blessed are those who are persecuted for the kingdom of God, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. God bless you when you are mocked and persecuted and lied about because you are my followers. Be happy about this. Be very glad, for a great reward awaits each one of you. Hope here in the building and hope at home in heaven. Father God, help us to be strong. Help us not to be ashamed to live for you. God, tomorrow, maybe we're at work, maybe we're here, maybe we're there, whatever we're doing, I pray that people would see our good works and they would notice you because of us. God, I bless my friends here at Hope Church. I love these people, God. And that's why we changed our name to Hope. We want people to come and find hope in Jesus Christ. This world wants to bring us down. This world wants to trample us underfoot, but we are more than conquerors in you because of you. Lord, I pray that we would stand. I pray that we would be an example of what it looks like to follow Jesus. God, bless these friends. Lord, bless them, keep them. May your face radiate upon them and give them the peace that comes from knowing you, I pray. And if you've never accepted Jesus, this probably is a good time to do that. It's simple to say, hard to live. Jesus, forgive us of our sins. Cleanse us of our unrighteousness. You become the CEO of our life and actions. God, we want to confess our sins and then you're faithful and just to forgive us. We received communion today, the result of praying a prayer like this. God, help us, lead us, cause us to live for you until we meet you face to face. Amen. God bless you so much. You're dismissed.